Now we come now to chapter 51, and I have labeled this the alarm clock chapter of the Bible. Here the nation Israel has a place in the past and future purposes of God. Now this has been recounted again and again. And may I just repeat this? Because God has repeated it here so many times. You see, sections like this are passed over today. You don't hear much about a chapter like the chapters we've been looking at. They are very unfamiliar. I have quite a few letters from folk that tell me, why, you're moving in an area I never was in before. I didn't know these things were in the Bible. Well, friends, you can't go into this section without recognizing that God has a purpose for the nation Israel just as much as he has a purpose for the church and for you and for me. Now, this alarm clock here is given to us because in this last chapter, that last verse concluded with a warning. And you and I might come up with the amillennialist interpretation. God doesn't want us to have it. Because we may say, well, the nation Israel has been set aside permanently. And where it's even mentioned, it doesn't mean Israel, means the church. And God says this too many times for him to mean the church. If he meant the church, somewhere along the line, he'd have said, I hope you don't misunderstand me. I mean the church and not Israel. He makes it very clear he means Israel, and he means exactly that. Now, what he's saying in this chapter is that God has not set aside the nation Israel permanently. And this chapter precludes any scintilla, a suggestion, or theory that God is through with them. Just as Israel had a past, and it began with a very small beginning, just today they're small and set aside. This doesn't mean God's forsaken them at all. I use the figure of speech of a train. God is running through the world, I think today, a twofold program. One is expressed in the word, yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And that's a train that's coming through, but right now it's on the sidetrack. Now, God has brought out on the main track of bringing many sons home to glory. That's the church. Now, that train's going to come into the Union Station on time. Now, when that is concluded, God will bring out on the main line the program with Israel and the Gentile nations then on the earth. And that one's going to come through on time also. Now, I have a friend, I tell him, because he is our millennial, and he's a dear friend of mine, I tell him, I said, you've wrecked that train that's on the sidetrack. And when God's ready to bring it out on the main line, why, you don't even have a train to come out on the main line. Well, he does. He didn't wreck it, just put it on the sidetrack. And he makes it very clear that he wants to wake us up. And actually, God's timepiece, as we've remarked before, it's not B-U-L-O-V-A or G-R-U-E-N, but it's I-S-R-A-E-L. That's God's alarm clock. And when that alarm goes off, you can be sure that God intends the world to wake up. And Paul put it exactly like that in Romans 13, verse 11 and 12. And that knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, will you notice? We have here in the first three verses, chapter 51, the origin from past history of the nation Israel. And then we have the outlook for the future, from verses 4 through 16, and then the outline of present conditions, verses 17 through 23. Now let's look at that. In the first three verses here, he says, hearken to me, ye that fall after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look under the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye were digged. Now, that hearken to me, God turns on the alarm, and he says here, to every sincere heart in Israel that longs to be righteous and desires to know God. He says, wake up, hear me, I have a plan. Now, he says in verse 2, look unto Abraham your father, unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Now God says, I called Abraham when he was over in Ur of the Chaldees in idolatry, and look what I've done through him. Now I want to move in your heart and life. This is the origin of this nation. Now we have here the outlook for the future. Verse 4, hearken unto me. Here we go again. He's trying to wake us up, and he's speaking now to Israel. Hearken unto me, my people. Give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. O my nation is Israel. And he says, my righteousness is near. Well, righteousness is Christ. He's been made unto us today righteousness. And then he speaks here of the isles. Verse 5, the isles, the islands, that is, shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Now, the arm of God, as we'll see in Isaiah 53, is his salvation, and the islands speak of all the continents where there were men at that time, and God says, I have a salvation, will be sent out to them. This is a tremendous section. Verse 9, listen to him here, awake, awake. And what he's saying here is, wake up and put on strength the arm of the Lord. That's God's salvation. In Isaiah 53, to whom is the bared arm of the Lord revealed? God wants that bared arm of redemption in Christ revealed today to a lost world. And therefore, he is sending out this message that that bared arm will deliver Israel in the future. Verse 11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Now, friends, Zion is a geographical location on top side of this earth. We need to understand that God means what he says here. And verse 14, the captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fall. For I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. Just as he brought their fathers from the ends of the earth, he intends to bring them. And that's exactly what Jeremiah says. He says in Jeremiah 23:8, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries, whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And he makes it clear here that they'll no longer remember the deliverance out of Egypt. Why? So great will be the deliverance in the future. Now, friends, you just can't set this aside. And God is shaking you and says, wake up, wake up. And he's still going to say, wake up. Now, in this last section, the outline of present conditions of the nation Israel, sinful and desolate, but ought to tell you something. Verse 17, he's shaking you again, friends. Listen to him. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling, wrung them out. And all you have to do is look at that city today. I'm very frank to say, that old city of Jerusalem holds for me no desire to live there or to go there permanently. I would never want to live there. And it was the favorite spot of David, and it's God's favorite spot. You see, he's yet to make it beautiful. He's yet to bring them there. And he says, wake up, O Jerusalem. I'm going to make you the great city that he said he would. Verse 22, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people, behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. God says, I'll take that cup of judgment away from you. And now I'm going to bless you. How can you say that God is through with the nation Israel? Why, even poetic justice demands that after all of these years of judgment upon this land, this city, and this people, that God will bless them and that God will get the victory. That's what he's trying to tell us here. And if you don't see it, oh, my friend, will you listen to him again? Awake, awake, wake up, wake out of sleep, because knowing the time, it's high time to wake out of sleep and say that a lot of Christians today should wake up and get going for God. This is a great day in which to live, my friend. The most exciting time in the history of the world is now, N-O-W. And you know, I belong to the now generation. Now it's high time to wake out of sleep.